Welcome to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast. This is episode number 2. Thanks for listening. This is Kurt Sisselman, along with Rocco James.
Happy March 1st.
Yes, it is March. It's
And welcome to spring.
Almost spring. Another huge
spring.
Well, yeah, I guess March is technically spring.
I am on the global warming calendar.
The accelerated calendar. Okay. Well, that works. I guess I can handle it. Spring is a good thing for me. I'd rather it be spring because that means it's warm. And then I don't have to freeze my ass off when I'm working.
Well, you just came back from Florida. Well, recently. Well,
yeah, not just, but yeah.
But you were down there for 6 years?
Yeah, well, 6 and a half. So, yeah, this weather is a bit of a shock. So,
yeah,
I
guess, yeah, I'm just so used to it. It actually didn't seem like a bad winter to me at all.
Well, yeah, but you didn't work outside when it was 2.
No.
And windy.
That's true.
And freezing rain.
That's true.
That sucked.
Yeah. Well, at my desk, it was pretty okay. That's Stacey.
Sorry, I was trying to be quiet.
At my desk, it was a nice, even temperature. I'd have to throw the little desk fan on.
The man provides that for you.
No, I have to buy it. But still.
Oh, nice.
Standing for the man?
Well, I don't know if I want to call him the man, because he's not the government.
The machine.
The machine. Yes, the machine. The machine does not provide, but yeah, sometimes you got to flip that little fan on.
Yeah, it must be rough.
Well, it is actually.
I got to wear 12 layers of crap, and yeah. I can't leave my truck running, or I'll get in trouble.
I can't leave my seat.
Oh,
it's tough.
Yeah, it must suck.
Well, it actually is kind of. It's kind of the opposite side of the coin because it is. People don't believe it, but when you have to sit behind a desk in front of a couple monitors and not move or talk to anybody for like 9 or 10 hours straight, it really is very difficult, and it really puts a toll on your body.
I believe that completely.
It's not fun.
No.
I mean, you don't notice it because you're so used to the pattern that it doesn't really come across your brain until you stand up and about, 100 of your bones snap at the same time.
100 of them?
About 100.
That's a lot. That's a high percentage of your bones.
It sounds like you're stepping on those little bubbles. The little packing bubbles.
The packing bubbles.
Yes. I don't have any idea to show you what it sounds like.
Roll them on the ground right now and jump on the machine gun.
Or Rice Krispies with milk.
That's what it sounds like when you stand up. You might want to see a doctor.
Hang on. I was trying to get something to. There you go.
Yeah, that's not right. That wasn't even a sound effect. That was real. So speaking of jobs that are tough that people can't seem to do, you've heard about the
government?
Exactly. Actually, that's exactly what I was talking about. The sequester, or what the hell they're calling this?
The what?
Well, the fiscal cliff. Remember that they had to pass all stuff, and now they can't balance what they had. And now they got to cut like billions of dollars in funding because nobody wants to work together. If that was me or you, we'd be fired.
Yes.
So why don't we fire everybody in the government? I mean, we can't just tell them to leave and do nothing, but you hold an emergency election. Every position in the government gets reelected, and if you're already in office, you can't run again because you've already proved you can't do your job.
Because there's a perfectly good explanation.
Money?
Well, that's part of it. But there's a system in place called the government where you can't actually have that happen because the people that would have to approve that are the people that you elected to get in that would actually get fired. So they're not going to like that.
Well, they're not going to like it, but, I mean, come on. If you're not offended right now by the way the government is running and the way all the shit's going down, people should be demanding heads. They can't do their job. They cannot do it. That's what they get paid for, is to make sure the country runs, and they can't do it because they're greedy, they're stupid, they're lazy, they're out of touch, all the above. Which is it?
I actually think it's an organism. And this has nothing to do with any kind of party lines at all. This is politics, to me, politics 101. It's a living organism that is now in place where, in order to survive, it has to act a certain way. So it has to keep growing and evolving and hiring people in the same pattern because that's just a normal evolution of this structure.
Right.
It's not good.
No, and it's going to lead to very bad things. That's what it's going to lead to.
I
I mean, how can it not? I mean, we're getting to a point where there's no middle class.
Right.
You're either rich or you're poor.
Right.
And this country can't survive without a middle class.
Right. Well, the world can't.
The world can't.
The world can't survive without an American middle class.
Right. But the world can survive without an American any class. If it became a Chinese class.
Well,
and that's what's going to wind up happening.
But I have absolutely nothing to back any of this up, but everything started to go to shit after the fuel prices went up and the American middle class could no longer afford to do the little spending things that they could, and that builds up. It's like a tiny little ant, but when you have an entire colony, that has a lot of weight. And all of a sudden, when the American middle class was impacted, the housing market started to get impacted, and that just went across the globe, which is actually still in a lot of turmoil. There are countries now that are pretty much on the brink of disaster, which would have come back to us.
Yeah, well, we're one of them.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we're on the brink of disaster. I mean, if we can't balance anything, if we can't come up with money to run the government projects that are supposed to keep things in line, well, what the hell's going to happen?
I don't fall into that kind of a category where I'm nervous about it, because if it happens, we're not in control of it. So you can't do anything about it.
I don't know if I'm nervous about it, but we're really close to it happening, I think.
I don't know if we are more close now or we were closer before. I don't even... There's so much shit going on that we don't know about.
Well, yeah.
It's possible that it's... We're no more now, closer now than we have ever been before.
Right, but do you think this may lead to... I mean, there's always been a lot of conspiracy theories about... what was the thing they were talking about a few years ago? The Amero. Remember when the Euro came out?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're going to come out with the Amero. And as silly as it sounds, yeah, they were saying that the government was trying to intentionally tank the value of the dollar in order to create America's North and South American currency like the Euro. Eerily enough, we've almost done it. We've almost made the dollar so worthless that it would be easier to get rid of it than it would be to fix it.
You can't even get a bag of chips in a vending machine for a dollar.
No.
Anymore.
No. And the stuff you can get for a dollar, you almost don't want to consume. Because who knows what it's made of? You know, like fish McBites. God knows what's in that stuff. It's not fish.
They're just throwing it into a blender.
It's like, well, there's, I don't know what's in there, a starfish, a seal.
Yeah.
There's a...
What are those, guts? Yeah. You throw them in.
Yeah. There's Hoffa. I'll just throw them all in there. Just throw it in a blender and call it Fish McBites.
Scary. Because
I don't think they grade fish like they grade meat.
Sure it has to pass a certain level, like with the FDA or whoever the hell does that.
Yeah, but the fish is more... It's
liberal?
Yeah, because there's like... I saw a lot down in Florida. People eat grouper.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, grouper. It's like a bottom feeder. They use that to clean sewer systems. They use that to clean sewage treatment plants. They use grouper for that. Why would you eat that?
Because food.
Yeah, it's full of poop. It's like eating liver. I mean, well, why would you eat liver?
Because it is a filter. There are people who are hungry, and they will actually think that's better than not eating anything alone.
Well, that I can understand, but if you're not starving...
Well, yeah. But that's it's maybe not be an American problem, but as an American, we don't always focus on where did this come from, is it good for us. What we're looking at is, hey,
how it's packaged.
What's the least bad food? That's the only thing I ever really hear people. What's the worst thing? Okay, I'm on my way home. I got five choices. What is the least worst thing that I'm going to like?
Yeah.
But oddly enough, I actually can contribute on a different aspect. I heard this on, I heard a podcast, or was it a news, whatever the hell it was. They were talking about calamari rings, which okay. I've had the calamari rings. I'm actually more of a fan of stuffed calamari, just because I like it. And they were talking about how someone in a meat manufacturing plant or processing, I guess processing is a better word, had mentioned that they were using, I think, pig colons as that. And the whole thing where they were trying to track it down and this, that, and the other thing. And they couldn't really find anything in America that that was happening. But they thought it's a possibility that this product is getting shipped overseas where it's not as widely regulated. And they actually did a test. Because it's not bad food. It's not like it's going to kill you.
Yeah.
It's just nobody wants to eat of a pig or whatever. Yeah. You know? But they actually did a test where they sliced, they cleaned them really well. And they sliced them up and they fried two different batches. And they couldn't tell the difference.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a little... Yeah, see, that's why I don't eat stuff like that.
It's just...
You put enough batter on it.
But that's the world we live in.
Well, it is. Mm-hmm. It really is. It really is all the packaging. Like how shiny and nice this is, you wouldn't eat that.
So I was at...
Give a little song and dance and you'll eat it.
There's some store around here. And I happened to be walking by the shelf and I was looking for something like SpaghettiOs. Because every once in a while you want a good can of SpaghettiOs. And they had... I think they were tamales. I think that's what they called them. And I think it had to be some product. If it wasn't out of Mexico, it was somewhere where I guess tamales would be a seller. But it was canned. So it was like a can, like the size of a canned...
Canned tamales?
Like, right. And you open it. I had to get it because I was fascinated. And I opened it up, and there were like five or six of these things rolled up in a sauce, and they were in, I don't want to say it was a corn husk, but it was something like that. And yet I emptied them out on a plate, and it was some sort of a meat product in some sort of a corn product rolled up in some sort of a wrapper product. And I tried a bite of one, and that's as far as I got, because I've had real tamales. And
nothing beats a real tamale.
No.
Can I interrupt by asking, what are tamales?
I might be wrong. Yeah, I might be wrong, but it's usually a filling that is wrapped in
usually like pork and beef,
or chicken,
or something, chicken,
right?
Yeah.
And it flavored, cooked,
okay,
and then it's rolled up in corn meal,
mm-hmm.
And then they roll, and then they put that in a corn husk,
yeah,
and then they cook it.
Delicious.
Oh, if you have somebody, oh my god.
Yeah.
I was working, we were building this one house, and the one dude had his wife cooked a batch that morning. Nice. He brought them, and it was November-ish, so it wasn't really cold, but you could see her breath. And break time, I'm guessing 10 o'clock, so we got there at like 6. By 10 o'clock, they were still warm and steamy. Delicious. Best breakfast, I think. I mean, one of the best breakfasts I've ever had in my life.
It's breakfast food?
Well, no. It's, no, but he had them
there. Yeah, it's anything kind of food. That place, the Hacienda, when it was the original place over there in Southside, over there by Southside Bowl, they used to have excellent hot tamales, and that's exactly what they were.
Mm-hmm.
They came out in the corn husk, you had to open them up.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they were excellent. Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to get some.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if they're done right.
If they're
if it's a real tamale, if it's something like you just described, I wouldn't touch that with
It was.
Yeah. It's like chicken, like a whole game hen. What are those things? Those little Cornish game hens, in the can. Have you ever seen those things?
No, but I believe they exist.
Oh, there was, I think it was on Tosh.0 or something. They showed some kid eating like 10 of them.
Oh.
And he just like slid out of the can and he like swallowed them whole.
Oh.
It was, it's nasty.
And that.
Oh my god.
That's actually my point, is that it's not like just our kind of it's not a gluttonous kind of an outlook where we're just like, oh, prepackage anything and we'll eat it. Whatever, this is actually global now where something's thrown into a packaging and somebody's walking by a shelf going,
I'll eat that.
I'll eat that instead of making it.
Well, there's a guy I knew down in Florida who would he would eat those, what are they called, tornadoes from like the mini mart from 7-Eleven or whatever.
Oh my god, I always wanted to try those because they look disgusting.
Oh, they are absolutely disgusting.
Another thing I've never heard of.
They're on those things that roll next to the hot dogs.
Oh.
But let's put it this way, it looks like if you're going to eat it, you're going to be shitting your brains out before you hit the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah. You eat that in the bathroom. Yeah, because it's going right through you. And, like, we were having a band practice one night, and I think we got like a pizza, and he brings these tornadoes. He's like, oh, I brought these. And everybody just looked at him like, you're going to eat those? And he's like, oh, I eat these all the time.
Ugh.
And I think he passed out shortly after that. He had like an episode or something.
Oh, well, God, yeah.
Through your colon, that's why.
I think that was the same day. But yeah, I don't know if it was related to that or not. But yeah, oh my God. I mean, it was just horrible. But people eat, and I mean, I used to eat food like that. And I mean, you know, it's
everybody
been,
does.
And was if you it don't have 3 years now, I haven't had fast food.
Yeah, if you don't have a lot of money, bizarrely enough, the crap is cheaper than eating gut.
Absolutely.
But there's,
I can tell you that, yeah.
Yeah, but there's options though, because I mean, I used to be in that situation
for us.
But even
but
when
if you
I
have
was
a family of like three.
Yeah, but there's still.
I agree.
You know,
well, you were just this week. You had a stomach thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And you wanted to know if there was fucking soup.
Yeah.
And my first thought was, why don't you just make soup? Because I honestly don't.
Because I couldn't get out of bed to make soup.
Because I don't make. I haven't bought a can of soup. I can't tell you in how long because it's
so easy to make.
The simplest thing where you get a pot with water and you chop up to potatoes and carrots and celery and you throw some chicken in. And it's the best thing you've ever tasted in your life.
Right.
Yet people go to the store and they'll spend $2 for a big can of salt that doesn't have
exactly.
And mush.
Yeah.
Which I did. I mean, I did that because yesterday I was feeling better and I said I was going to go out and do something. So I went to the store and I lasted about 3 minutes in the store before I started feeling woozy again. So I just grabbed like two cans of like chunky soup and I ate those. But yeah, I mean, it was not, it's horrible. I'd rather make my own soup or have homemade soup. And that soup that I ordered the other night was good. From that little place, same place we talked about last week, where they make anything. You know, ordered a bowl of chicken noodle soup and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
And they delivered
it. Yeah, for like $5, and they delivered it, you know. You can't beat that.
Yeah, and I got a bacon, egg, and cheese on a sub roll.
Yeah. Crazy stuff you can order from that place.
Yeah, I remember the last time I had, I remember it specifically because I was hungry and I was shopping, and it was something like top sirloin, something or other soup. I can't remember what it was, but it looked good. It looked like a little meatball, not Italian wedding soup, but something like that. And I got the thing, and I opened it, and I put it in a pot, and I ate a bowl, and I remember biting into one of these things, these meat things, and it didn't taste like meat. So I bit halfway into this thing. Because I remember thinking it might be like Italian wedding soup and those little meatballs, and it was chewy, and it looked like meat. It was kind of gray,
ugh.
And it was mushy. So it wasn't a meatball, but it was a ball of meat. It wasn't a piece of meat. It was like a processed meatball, but it wasn't a meatball.
Ew.
Yeah. And then I thought maybe this is a one-off, so I got my spoon and I fished around a little and I found another one and it was the exact same thing. And it was some sort of like sirloin, big and meaty, chunky soup. I don't remember, but that was the last time I
just had it actually. They're like little. They look like little Salisbury steaks and they got like grill marks on it. But you know, hey, they don't make a grill that small to make these things.
What did it look like to you? What was your opinion?
Honestly, it looked like dog food.
All right.
It did. It looked like
kitchen sponge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looked like a dog or a cat had coughed something up, and they drew some black lines on it, threw it in the soup.
Oh man, that's all I remember is thinking to myself, like, what am I like? I figure it had to be some sort of beef, but it didn't even taste like anything.
Beef would be cow, some kind of meat.
Well, I'm thinking
it could be soy, for all you know. I mean, it doesn't even have to be meat.
Well, that actually takes you to a very interesting topic about what happened to Taco Bell.
Ooh.
About how
this episode just keeps getting darker and darker.
In the last, I think it was the last year or two, I think it was, where the government cracked down and said they couldn't say that their tacos or whatever the hell it was contained beef because it didn't have enough percentage of beef, and that's because there was some sort of soy product filler,
right?
So it had so much filler that the percentage of filler outweighed the percentage of beef.
Well, I would rather be soy filler than like mystery rat filler or something like that.
Like horse. What they're going on in
Europe. In Europe. Yeah. And there was a commercial about that, too. I forget what company it was for.
For horse?
Maybe. It was like these two guys, and they're like, they sit down at like this little takeout diner, and it says like best cheesesteaks in town or something like that, and it's got like this label that says grade A. And they're sitting down, and the guy's like, "You ever have like the best thing you've ever eaten?" He's got like a mouthful of it, and his buddy looks up, and the guy like peels down the grade A, and he puts up grade F, and he like smacks it out of his hand. He's looking at him like, and I forgot what the restaurant was for, but I thought, man, you know, you just that's probably know. Happened.
You don't know. It's really scary because if you don't want to do the work, I started watching some documentaries about food.
Ooh, yeah, that's always scary.
I did two or three, and I only got about 20 minutes in a piece, and I stopped watching them because you don't want to eat anything. Yeah, you don't even want to just buy meat.
Yeah, you don't even want to go to the store and make your own because what the hell's in this? Right. That's why I don't eat tuna fish anymore. Like, I will not eat canned tuna fish because
you don't know what it is.
No, because I know what's in there.
Oh.
And I'm how old was I? I was probably 15 or 16. I was working at a little supermarket, and there was this thing on 60 Minutes or something my dad was watching where they found like cockroaches and parts of bugs in the tuna fish. And I mean, I used to eat tuna fish all the time.
But that's just not tuna fish though.
And I went to the store and I bought one. I opened it up, I poured it out. And I mean, just randomly picked a can off the shelf and I found a bug in it.
Ugh.
And I'll eat tuna, like tuna steak. I'll eat that.
Oh yeah. Well, you know,
like albacore. Right.
If you can see the meat,
piece of meat. But I won't eat. Like, and that's really the only seafood I'll eat. But tuna fish, you could not pay me to eat that.
Yeah, if you want to scare yourself, just go out there and see what percentage of what of any X can be in a product.
Yeah,
and you will just get yourself sick.
Yeah, yeah. What the FDA will allow there to be in food?
Right.
It's disgusting. I mean, that's why I'd almost prefer things went back to the way they used to be, where you had a farm. Excuse me. You had a farm. You grew your own vegetables.
Right.
You slaughtered your own cows. You did all that because at least then you had some idea of what you were eating.
When my father was young, they all had, I think it was for the most part, chickens. But I think there were some pigs, too. But they were always, everybody had their own fresh eggs and their fresh chickens. Now, I don't know if a lot of people today would have the stomach to go out there and kill a chicken, but if you're hungry, you're going to do it.
Yeah. And if you realize, I mean, there's a big difference between, because we used to have chickens when I was a kid. We grew up on an old farm, and we had goats and stuff like that. My dad got the idea of getting chickens, so we'd have fresh eggs. And I don't even know if people would eat fresh eggs when you realize that not all the time do they come out the way they're supposed to. Like, I remember a few times my mom would crack them open, there'd be like an embryo inside. Because that's what eggs are. I mean, that's what they're supposed to be.
In this age where we have some sort of a disconnect, we're blind to how close we are to everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kill to survive. I'm sorry if anybody out there is a vegan or a vegetarian.
You're still killing those vegetables.
You're killing something to survive. And it's not heartless. I'm not being heartless to say that, but you need something else to die in order for you to keep living.
Absolutely. It's the transfer of energy.
It's, you know.
Energy can't be created. It can only be, you know.
The only thing I will say is fruit. If it's something that bears fruit, that fruit is meant to be eaten to pass the seed.
Exactly.
So you're not killing that. It's actually the means. It's the only true food where you're not killing something.
Exactly, because that's what it's designed to do.
Right, that's the whole design.
Right.
But, you know, you're ripping a plant out of the ground.
You're eating a carrot.
Root. You're eating a carrot. You're eating the plant. You're eating a potato. You're eating the plant. Yeah.
And we had this discussion before, and people say, well, you know, plants and vegetables are different, but like, you know, you said, how did, you know, flowers know to evolve to a certain color to attract, you know, the bees?
I think that's fascinating. I don't know how people aren't fascinated. Plants evolve. You want to, if you're religious and you say humans were put here for a reason, okay. You say, oh, God made the flowers, okay. But the flowers evolve with no brain, no central nervous system, yet they evolve a specific color and a specific apparatus, but a certain
design, look, and color
to attract aesthetic. a certain aesthetic insect. Right, aesthetic.
Yes.
So it makes you wonder, how does that flower know that the bug it wants to attract likes blue? It's blue flower because it's a blue flower because a bug wants to land on a blue flower. But how does that plant know that that bug likes blue? Or how does an orchid look like an orchid because it wants to attract something?
Right.
How is that intelligence there?
Well, you'd get the opposite argument that, well, that's not the case. It's the bug that evolved to like the blue. There's always that. They've always got that ace in a hole on something like that.
I'll concede that point.
But then, you know, how does a sunflower follow the sun if it doesn't have some kind of intelligence?
Well, yes.
Okay, because I've seen them, and they do follow the sun.
Right.
You know, there's no denying that. You know, I've done some time-lapse photography.
Yeah.
And to really watch a vine, you know, grow over a couple of days is amazing. I mean, you think you're looking at that plant and it's just sitting there? It's not. That thing is moving. You can't really tell, but it's moving, it's growing, it's probably grown, you know, a half inch in the past week, and you don't even realize it because it happens so slow.
Vines are a pest for most people, I guess, would probably consider. Even if they think about it, they're going to think it's a pest. But if you think about a vine, it has evolved where it doesn't need a central stalk or structure. It can grow up anything, so it doesn't need... It evolved to a point where it'll grow on anything. It doesn't need... Oh, this tree falls down, I'll find another tree to grow.
Right.
I'm going to survive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, and how do they know that? How do they do it?
Right.
But you got the cactuses, like the one I had outside my house in Florida. They bloom a couple times a year, but they'll only bloom for maybe one or two nights at a time. At night. Because it's too hot during the day for the flowers are so delicate that they'll burn. Like that's pretty intelligent for a cactus. Say, okay, I'm gonna bloom at night, and then you come out in the morning and the flowers are all black and they're falling off, and you didn't even see them bloom. You're like, what happened?
But it evolved because there was something at night that would pollinate the flower.
Mm-hmm.
But that can't be intelligence. We're the only smart things on the planet.
Right.
So that's why I don't know. That fascinates me. Like, nobody else thinks it's interesting. They walk outside, oh, look at the pretty flower. It's like, how did that, you know, how does it transmit that intelligence through the generations?
Right. Well, I had an idea. I think I was telling you about it. I was out for a hike one time down in Florida, and there was just this tree. It was huge. It's called a Fairchild Oak, and it's like 2,000 years old. It's been there. I mean, it's huge, and it's live oaks. Yeah, if you're online, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. The live oaks actually they grow out their branches so far that they come back down and go into the ground, and then they come back out. So it actually holds itself up. And I was out walking. There's a bunch of these live oaks out there, and I had the idea that what if we didn't evolve the way we did for any other reason that plants needed us to take care of them.
That's an interesting thought.
You know, like the trees knew that, okay, we could only, our fruit will only go so far if it falls off our branches, so we can never really expand the way we need to. But here's these, you know, these monkeys running around, they'll carry these seeds all over the place. So we'll just, you know, we'll make our fruit taste good to them, and then they'll carry it around, they'll take us around, and that's how they move around. Now, so you never know. It all depends on how you look at things. We could just be the pawns of plants,
and we just kind of we're like the caretakers of the garden, and we just kind of got a little out of control.
Yeah,
a little bit. The other thing I'll more homework for anyone who's listening. The Methuselah tree. I saw this as a PBS episode long time ago. You probably can't even find it except for possibly on VHS. They might have, maybe they digitalized it. I don't know.
Oh, they probably have.
But it was this story about a certain type of conifer, cone tree, like an evergreen tree in, I think, Yellowstone or somewhere out there. And the story was that there was someone doing an expedition, just tracking down anything in the area, and he cuts this tree down just to get an example of this kind of a tree, counts the rings, and the tree he killed was over 5,000 years old. Just that tree.
Yeah, I just found a thing for it on PBS.org. I'll link to that too.
California, there is, and they actually don't tell anyone where it is, because they, back in, I think in the possibly 70s, 80s, 90s, whenever it was, people were so interested that they'd go to see these trees, which I completely agree with, but humans being humans, they'd rip a piece of bark off to say they have a piece of this tree, and they were killing all of these trees. There's not just one tree. There's a whole bunch of these, but this type of tree lasts longer than we've been intelligent, according to current history books. And it's a very interesting look at what life is on this planet, and the fact that there are these creatures living for 5,000 plus years and will continue to live probably another thousands of years if we don't kill them.
If we don't get involved.
That guy has egg on his face.
Oh, he was, if I remember, he was mortified. He was incredibly mortified once he realized how old it was. I don't know if he took a core sample or if he cut it down. How would you know? It's a tree. Well, they never knew. They never knew about these trees.
And there's some places, there's a spot around here that's, it's a bog. It's an old cranberry bog. And I went to it years ago. You could only get to it by meeting up with this group. They would put you in a van with blacked out windows.
A cranberry bog.
Yeah. Well, no, because it's so incredibly delicate, the ecosystem, that they don't want people to know where it is to go back and mess with it. So they take you in this van. You couldn't see where you're going. You had no idea. You feel like you're being kidnapped.
Obviously.
And you walk down this trail, down through these woods, and you walk out on this boardwalk. And there's like pitcher plants there. It's actually just some spots that are still tropical. In Pennsylvania, the ground is so acidic that it can withstand the cold winters. So there's pitcher plants. There's trees that are there for thousands of years and are only this big. They're like 4 feet high because they grow so slow because of the acidity in the water. So cool. And I've never seen any other tourists. I mean, I went there once and I've never seen it again.
Good.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you where it was.
Well, yeah, you were blindfolded and thrown in the
tree. Yeah, I don't remember if we were blindfolded, but we might have been. It was really that secretive.
I don't blame them. I honestly don't.
Yeah, I had no, some people are like, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm like, oh, whatever. I mean, you're either, you know, if you're here killing people, you're probably not going to be doing it like the state park, headquarters. You know, this is
hey,
my
Bob,
thought.
What happened to those guys? I don't know. They disappeared. Okay, where's the news group coming in?
Yeah.
I think you'll get noticed.
Yeah, unless they were feeding us to like some plant out there that was.
That is awesome.
That'd be a great
movie.
Now,
that's an idea.
Yeah, you can't tell anybody where you're going. We're gonna blindfold you, and then you get there, and there's like this giant like
ancient plant, what do they call it?
Venus flytrap, but it's like they trip you, you fall, and things like. Brr.
Yeah. Why don't you go walk out there? Yeah, you see that thing? Go, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's just a different part of the platform. You can stand on that and just go, tonk.
Oh, my shoelace. Yeah, my shoelace came untied. Let me tie that. You go out there. And I'll just keep...
No, that's a prop. You can stand in that and get your picture taken.
I'm going to wear a little tank top and a little shorts.
Pull on that one thing. You see that thing? Pull on that.
Looks like the duodenum.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Pull on it.
Duodenum. That's esophagus.
Esophagus.
Yeah. To Wadnum.
But that's another like Venus flytraps, and I forget what the other one's called. My neighbor up the road from me when I was growing up, you said these plants, they had like long leaves on them, and if you touch so many of them, they curl up almost like a Venus flytrap, and they'd stay like that for a while. But like, how does a plant evolve to that where it knows it can, like, eat something just by closing down on it? I mean, that's amazing.
That's that's what's fascinating. Because as an animal, speaking as an animal, it's interesting, like, you can move, you can hunt, you have senses, you could see things, but if you're stuck in the ground, how do you evolve to that kind of a point where you know, hey, this thing's landing on me all the time. If I can just grab it, so that I gotta grab it, lasts for like 3,000 years, and eventually something can grab it.
Yeah,
it's like when you have a scratch, but just think of it's not just your scratch; it's 1,000 years of your ancestors has this scratch.
You're hurting my brain.
Yeah,
sorry.
But not only grab it, digest it.
Yeah.
We can't chew it. Well, it's got to digest it.
I just found this out last year that I heard. I don't know how true this is yet. I heard last year that there are these little tiny little hairs on tomato plants that kill bugs, and the specific reason that they're toxic to bugs is so they fall to the bottom of the plant. And they
create compost.
Yeah. So even a tomato plant has evolved to kill something so it can survive.
So it can survive. But that's actually kind of ironic because originally tomatoes were thought to be poisonous.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, the right thing. Yeah. They wouldn't eat tomatoes because they were thought to be poisonous. And now it's like one of the largest staples of the human diet.
Well, just think about, like, do you know any other product where you can buy paste of it in a can? Besides tomato, you can buy tomato paste. Can you buy any? Well, I'm sure you can, but is it as widely used?
No. You can get it in paste, sauce. You can get it as ketchup.
Yeah,
it's made to make sauces. You put it in, you eat it as the vegetable.
Yeah,
that's really a fruit.
You can fry it. You can dry it. I mean, you can do. Yeah, and it's a fruit. It's
you can throw it at somebody.
You can throw it at somebody.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I love tomatoes. I'll just eat a tomato.
My favorite. Oh, yeah.
A little salt. Knife. Just sit there and eat that thing.
Well, brings us back to March 1st. I got to start planning on when I have to start the seeds for the garden.
Yeah. Okay, get out your green thumb.
Mm-hmm. All right, out of my ass.
Well, at least you can use it to fertilize.
There we go.
So I noticed something cool the other day. Yeah. Get off the topic. It's been kind of a dark topic so far.
Yeah, sorry about that, folks.
I was going through, I use my phone as my GPS in my car. And this is just little things that make the nerd in me happy. I'm driving down 81, heading to Dunmore, to Troop or something like that. And I get off at 188. And you know how you got 380, you've got 81, and you've got Casey Highway all coming together. Mm-hmm. And there's that little, it's just like 150 feet of a tunnel.
Oh, yeah, it's a cool little it looks like Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, I love going in there. So I'm driving down through there, and I notice that my Google Maps that I use for my GPS, as soon as I get to the edge of that, goes to night mode, and as soon as I come out from underneath it, goes back to day mode.
It knows.
It knew that there's 150 feet there where it's a little darker.
Wow.
And I watched it, and I'm like, what? Really? I'm like, that's pretty cool. It's completely...
That is really cool. It's a little scary.
The dumbest
really cool.
thing in the world, but yeah, it made me so happy to know that, you know,
that it just does that.
It did that. Not that it even gets that dark. I mean, it's a lit tunnel, and it's only 150 feet.
Yeah,
even at night,
you're,
it's brighter.
You're through it before you even realize you're in it.
Yeah, you're like, oh, was that a big bridge or a tunnel?
Yeah. The only thing it reminds me of is the old Battlestar Galactica when the shot when they're taken off, because when you enter it, it kind of has that same effect.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got the lights on the side. The lights, it kind of looks like it narrows.
It's ridged, so like it just feels like it's passing you by faster.
Yeah,
it's up
so, yeah, and it's on that turn. You got a little bit of a turn.
Actually, I'm a geek. Yeah, it's actually, but it's that's really cool.
Yeah, it's just little stuff like that makes me happy. I don't know why, but you had that thing with your phone with the app that reads your finger pressure and teaches you to slow down your breathing. That's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, work has been a little tough, so I thought I'd go out there and find... I used to do all kinds of stuff. I used to read philosophy and meditate and all kinds, but time goes on, and I don't do it. So in this current age, I was like, hey, I wonder if there's an app for that. And there is an app where you put your finger on the lens, and I have an iPhone, and the light from the... I'm guessing the light from the flash illuminates your finger, and it could read the differences in your blood pressure. Because all you need to do is hold your finger next to that light, and it will show your blood pressure, or your heartbeat, rather. And then by using breathing techniques, you can have your breathing coincide with your heartbeat and relax you. It's probably the most interesting app I think I've ever had.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, an actual useful app.
And it was free.
And that's even better.
And that's the age we live in. It's like, hey, do you want to know something? Why don't you look?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we always had that problem, too. Yeah. We'll be sitting there thinking, well, how do you do this? And, why don't we just, look it up?
I mean, it's our generation. I'm really curious to see if the generation after us is so spoiled with it that they just don't even know it's there. Because, they just won't even look because they don't need to look. Where we'll be like, I wonder what happened in 1873 in Romania. And you could just look it up.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's fascinating that you could do that. And there are some kids who just never put their phone down at all. And they have everything they could ever want at their fingertips.
And the only thing to do is they play Angry Birds.
They can't talk to another kid.
Well, no.
Yeah.
And that, again, for me, is also going to be interesting to see what happens when this next generation becomes 25, 30, when they have no skills at all. Because we could look at somebody in the face, and we know by their body language and even their facial expressions what they're thinking and what they're going to say, where these kids have no interaction.
Yeah.
The only it's not thing just they... the kids, it's the parents, too.
Well, I put a lot of blame on the parents.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's easier to put your kids down from a video game or a, the TV.
Some people
you were talking about
choice.
Last time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
some people.
And that comes down to, the kind of the state that the country's in, is that you don't have a choice but to work your ass off.
Yeah, you don't. Some people don't. Some people do. And those people are the people that really
kind of people. Yeah. They don't have to do that, and they do because they don't want to deal with it.
But the people who are working a couple of jobs, both the husband and the wife, or either if it's a single parent and they got a couple of kids and they're busting their ass, not the person I'm talking about, you deserve all the credit in the world.
My mother.
Yeah, your mother. Yeah.
Worked two jobs, and if my sister and I fought.
Right.
Had any sort of fight, she would throw us out in the dead of winter, whatever we were wearing, close the door for 20 minutes, and by then we're hugging on the porch.
Yeah.
We're so cold, and she'd say, "Now you're getting along," and we grew up awesome.
Well, yeah.
So that.
Yeah, but there was parenting
they don't
there.
Do that. Yeah,
right
they
now
don't
it would just be,
today.
I'm gonna put on my headphones and let them fight it out in the other room, like the kid with the soda last week.
I'm gonna go to Facebook. You leave mommy alone while mommy, sends a Facebook something to someone.
People seem to have, and I see it a lot, people have this insane ability to block out the screams of their children.
We were in the store here. I can't remember, but we were here. There was this kid who was an adorable, cute little kid. Loud. Not angry, not screaming, not obnoxious. So incredibly loud. Just his voice, wherever he comes from, he has to his octaves have to be incredibly high just to get his point across. You could hear him through the entire store, the entire time. Then his parents looked like they were just dead inside, but I'm like, you didn't say one thing the entire time I was shopping. Did not say one thing to the kid. Hey, keep it down. There are other people here. You have to quiet down. And I know as a kid is going to be a kid. It's not going to always work, but you have to at least
try
to teach your kid.
Yeah. And that's probably why the kid is so loud, because the parents pay absolutely no attention to the child. And the only way you can get any kind of reaction from it is to get so annoying it just becomes an instinct to react.
Yeah.
Like, just shut up already.
He
was so
screaming for snacks over them.
It was interesting because he wasn't bad. He was a cute kid. He was acting cute like a kid does. But his octave level was so high that it made no sense.
Yeah, there's got to be something going on there.
Oh, he has to come from either home or daycare or school where that's the only way he could get attention.
Yeah.
Can't blame the kid. It's adaptation.
He doesn't know.
So when do kids start sounding like video games to get the attention? Because you know at some point that's going to have to happen. Because people are going to start neglecting the sound of human voices, real human voices, and they're going to start sounding more like what you'd hear in a video game because it's the only way people pay attention to them.
I don't think they have to, though, because they don't need to speak at all. They have the means in their hands. Kids now, when they're 8 or 9 years old, have a phone.
Yeah,
they
but when will that parents. Become the same thing as a child talking now, where it just becomes so annoying that they just put it away?
That'll be
the it becomes next a thing. Cycle.
That'll be something else.
Yeah.
That'll be something next.
You know, people just get so tired of it that they're just like, you know, my kid's got a, you know, my 3-year-old child has a cell phone and he's texting me.
I don't understand. I mean, I understand when your kid has to be a certain age, you have to be able to get in touch with your kid. But there has to be.
Yeah, they don't need an iPhone.
Our parents
They don't have to. They don't have to be 12 years old.
Yeah, but we didn't have the technology.
Yeah,
still. True.
But you could still go to the neighbor's house if you had to and call, use the phone. But so I understand the concept of that from a point of view of you got to stay in touch with your child.
Right.
But do you need to buy them a $500 phone?
Someone a middle class family.
And a tablet?
Yeah.
And a laptop?
Shouldn't be spending $600 on a phone or a gadget because their kid is annoying them to the point and saying, oh, so-and-so has it.
Yeah.
Great. No.
Go borrow theirs.
Right.
There's just kids don't have imagination these days.
No.
The days of a blank sheet of paper and 8 colored crayons.
I'm actually wondering if that's going to come back.
It might.
That's what I
thought. I had this thought.
It was awesome.
I had this
now
thought.
You have things that just draw a picture for you.
When I was at work, we've passed a. They've asked for people in the building not to talk on their cell phones. In the aisles or where other people can hear them because they're disrupting work and there might be clients and whatnot. So they asked them to go to the cafeteria. So you have a whole group of people in the cafeteria or wandering around. And I thought to myself, it just kind of hit me, the old black and white movies where there used to be a whole wall of phone booths, but that's the way it's going to be again. There's going to be phone. There's not going to be a phone in the booth.
There'll just be a booth.
But you're going to have a booth now where when you want to get away from other people, you can go into that booth and have a conversation on the phone or text somebody without other people.
There's your $1 million idea. Start making them.
Phone booths?
Yeah. Phoneless booths.
Phoneless booths. It's my idea, folks.
That's copyright 2013. Rocco James.
Phoneless booths.
Phoneless booths. You provide the phone. We provide the booth.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. I honestly, it's going to have to come back.
More room for Superman to change.
Right. Because people are so obnoxious. They're not going to stop being obnoxious.
Well, no.
You're just going to have to give them a room where they can be obnoxious.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're only
going to
get worse.
Huh. And until they implant it in somebody's head and then they can.
I don't think I want that.
Well, Google's working on that Google Glass project. But instead of wiring it in your head, it actually is a bone induction. So the arm of the glass is actually pressed against your bone where you can actually hear the...
That's, you know what? That's good for the next generation. I will use it, possibly, from time to time. But I don't want it. I honestly could care less about social interaction because Facebook was interesting to me when it first came out because you could actually see real posts from people.
No, it's ads.
And now, but not only that, it's just like, it's like I'm going to Dunkin' Donuts DD Friday. And it's like, no, it's like, I don't care.
Yeah, but what if it's more than just that? I mean, I don't think the whole point of glasses is to just see your Facebook post, but say you could get your GPS, you could overlay information over what you're actually seeing.
That's interesting, but you're losing on what you're normally supposed to see.
Well, this is true. I mean, I don't know if I'd wear it all the time.
If you're doing something, if you're going somewhere, if you're on vacation and you want to see the sights, like if you're in a museum and they give you those headphones to wear.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, very interesting.
You don't wear those.
But I'm just
don't,
saying.
Don't wear those headphones.
But I'm just saying.
Get the little handheld one with the speaker, because you don't want those things in your ears.
But if you're so distracted by what people tell you you should be doing, your own senses don't let you see. Like, how do you just walk down a street and not notice things?
Well, people do it all the time.
Well, I agree, but that's...
You and I are different. Saying. We see things that other people don't notice.
But that's why I wouldn't care about that. I would as a utility.
Yeah. If I'm on vacation, my phone is usually in the glove box in the car, turned off.
Right.
You know, don't care about it. That's not why I'm, you know...
Yeah.
I might have it on, but with the service off, just for the camera, and that would be about it. Yeah, you know, I don't want any. If I'm on vacation, I don't want to be disturbed by anything like that.
No, and that's why. Again, if it was something interesting where people used it to actually let other people know about themselves, it would be interesting. But yeah. You don't ever know anybody except for some image of something or a poster of, you know, somebody drinking wine or some saying about something. You don't find out about people, so that's true. I don't need to even care about it.
Yeah, it becomes more like a video game than life. Well, we've got food sitting on the table there.
Yeah,
so we're gonna call that a wrap. So I'm Kurt Zitzelman.
I'm Rocco James,
and we're gonna call it a night. Thanks for listening, guys.
Happy March 1st.
Happy spring. Right. No. Bye. Peace out this week.
No.
Peace out.
Peace in the Middle East. Peace in the Middle East. Damn catchers. Bye.